Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Faye Clark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is everyone well?
Yes.
No. Well, we need to do something about that. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Well, I'm trusting that the word is going to cover you and you're going to go out of this place feeling 100% this morning.
Yes.
So our short series is, He Came Into the Neighbourhood. So the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood.
Yeah.
So, that was an amazing time of worship. Thanks, Hazel. And we were just singing, You Have Paid the Price with Your Sacrifice. Your love has made the way. My Saviour, my Redeemer, my Restorer, my Messiah. And that's all that Jesus was and is today to us. But it all started somewhere.
Yeah.
It started in the beginning, obviously when God created the world, and then Adam and Eve caused a bit of a problem with that by their sin and temptation, and so Jesus had to do something. So we're going to look at what Jesus did and what Christmas time is all about. So I've been really struck while preparing for today that this is the most amazing time of year.
Yeah.
And God's really been talking to me about the fact that this season right now is the season where our reconciliation to God began. Mm. And sometimes in the tinsel and everything else, we forget that. And this is when God decided it was time. It's time now. This is the time. This is the season for me to send my son in order to start that reconciliation process for his creation, which I don't know about you, but I find that pretty awesome. And so he sent his son into a messy world as an example of how to walk out faith. And he came as a baby just as we came into the world as a baby. So he went through the exact same birth process as we went through. He went through the exact same weaning process as we went through. The same teething process, the same learning to crawl, the same learning to walk, the same learning to read. I think they read then, yeah. Same learning to write, the same learning to eat, the same relationship issues. All of those things, the same problems that we face day to day, Jesus faced them. Just so that he knew and we knew that Jesus could deal with that, and he was still okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was a little bit different, I guess, to when we were born. There was no nice, clean maternity unit. Not in my Bible, anyway. There was no home from home, no nice music playing in the background, no gas and air, no epidural. Mary did it au naturel. Boom, hands up for Mary. I'd give her a high five, that's for sure. It was just a painful, forceful entry into the world. So even when Jesus was born, it was messy. Because, I mean, I've never given birth, but here it's quite messy. But we won't go into that, because the boys might go a bit pale. You know, and a lot of us, when we look at the Christmas story, it's his lovely little manger, and the cattle were lowing. The baby didn't wake up. Jesus was all meek and mild. He was well behaved. Nah. What I really wanted to do this morning, I was saying to Steve, how can we get some manure into church? He was like, what, manure? I was like, I really want people to like understand the story of when Jesus was born. Yeah, let's face it. Okay, right. We've got this manger. Because I look at my nativity set at home, I don't know about you guys, and it's lovely. It's this wooden manger, and it's got this beautiful white porcelain angel and a beautiful white porcelain Mary holding a baby, and Joseph's next to her. And we read the story about the cattle lowing, and you know the cows were asleep, and the sheep were baaing, and Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he was fast asleep. Now, Michelle, I'm sure it's not true that when babies come out, they're fast asleep, are they? No. I can't talk from experience. It's all presumption from, you know, one born every minute. But it's not like that. I'm in faith, though. It's all right. But So I was saying to Steve, how can we get some? He was like, I don't think we can get any manure in church. And I was thinking about how bad it smells when they're like putting the muck out on the fields at our house, because we're surrounded by fields. And I was like, yeah, I bet that's what the stable smelt like. Being real, it wasn't clean, was it? Mary and Joseph didn't arrive and sweep a nice pile of hay that's clean. They've been walking around Bethlehem, knocking at every door going, have you got a room? No, sorry, we don't have a room. Have you got a room? No, sorry, we don't have a room. There's no room for you, King. There's no room for you. Knock, knock, knock. No, sorry, there's no room for you here. No, I haven't got time. There's no room. I'm full. I'm busy. I've got my family staying. I'm so busy. I've got presents to wrap and turkey to cook. I haven't got room for you, Jesus. I'm sorry. No. It's busy. It's busy. Until the innkeeper said, well, I've got a shed, stable. What would we call it today? A barn, probably. I've got a barn you can use, and it's not a barn conversion. Let's get real with what the Christmas story is. It was dirty, it was messy, it was smelly, it smelt like manure. The donkeys were eoring, the cows were mooing, and there definitely wasn't much peace, I wouldn't have thought. But Jesus is a Prince of Peace, and he carried that peace with him. And so when the story tells us that the baby was lowing, that the cattle were lowing, the baby was asleep, I believe it's because that's the peace that Jesus holds right in who he was, coming right into that messy, dirty, awful situation, bringing perfect peace. And I hear that when you've had a baby, you mummies can put me right. But all of that pain, discomfort, mess completely disappears as soon as you hold that baby. What an example of truly what that peace of God is. And he came to be that example even in birth. So, that wasn't in my notes, so that's just for you. God's bit of humour, I think. And, we know from Isaiah that the time and the place that he prophesied the coming of a saviour. So we're just going to have a quick look at it. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 9, verse 1 to 7, because it's great to read the word for yourself. And God knew the right time to send Jesus to save us, to save a nation, to save his people. Just like today, he knows the time and the place for the things in our lives and our communities. And just in case, because I'd have liked an amen at that point, but you were looking at your Bible. So Isaiah prophesied the coming of Jesus, and God knew the time and place to send him. Just like today, he knows the time and place for everything in our lives and everything in our community. That's our community here as a fellowship, but our community in Boston as well. So Isaiah 9 verse 1 to 7 says, nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder, you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms blood-stained by war will be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. Wow. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Just that whole declaration. The Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, his government and its peace will never end. That's just such an amazing promise for us, that the peace of the Father is never going to end. And Yeah, this is the time and the season to remember that the Son of God was born for our destiny to be released. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget that at Christmas. I get so embroiled in the story and the things that actually I forget that the whole point of Jesus being born was for us to be reconciled back to God, and as we accept him as our saviour, our destiny being released. So this is the time when God must have battled to send his only son to a cruel and perverse world. Not what God had originally intended, but he had a plan for Jesus to be able to enter our communities and our neighbourhoods. And we're just going to watch a quick sketch from the Skit Guys. I love the Skit Guys. I love them because they know how to make you laugh, but then they know how to punch you straight in the stomach. And I was just thinking about how we can look at the story a little bit different, and these guys have got an amazing sketch. So just for, if you're listening on the iTunes podcast, thank you, Hazel. We'll put a link for the Skit Guys video so you can see it. Wow. Amazing. I was chatting to Pastor Shane about that, and we were just talking about how freeing it is to know that somebody else felt that they would never be able to love somebody enough to sacrifice their son, and it's great because we don't have to, but he did. And there was enough love. He did love us enough. And, you know, thank God that we will never have to love somebody enough to sacrifice our children, because God's already done it for us. And, yeah. Ah, look. Well, for anybody listening on the podcast, we've got a little slide of everything about Christmas. So there's lots of things like a tree and a present and turkey and crackers and Father Christmas, and right in the centre of all that is the Nativity. So, if we're really honest right now, how many of us get tied up with all the things of the season rather than remembering what the season is to celebrate? I do. I've had a great time with God this week, just really rediscovering the Nativity story and really allowing God to speak to me about what it truly meant, rather than just a story about the angels and the wise men and the shepherds and baby Jesus being born, but truly what that actually was the start of, that journey, that was the start of Jesus's journey. And I can't be the only one that gets tied up with sticky tape and presents and shopping and Christmas food shopping lists and deciding what presents to buy and stressing because my presents look like fish and chips this year. But it's fine, because it doesn't matter. That's not the reason for the season. And, you know, me, like everyone, I love putting my tree up. And I love the fact that Steve and I have both got our own family traditions, but we're starting our own joint traditions. That's amazing. Deciding what traditions we want to carry on from our families, but also making our own traditions for Christmas. And one of those traditions is making sure that we continue to put Jesus at the centre, that we continue to light the Advent candle and remember what Jesus did for us, not in any sort of morbid way, just in a rejoicing about the fact that God sent his son so that we could have fullness of life. And, you know, I haven't got an issue. I love family traditions. Things like we always put the Christmas tree up together, and you have to have mince pies and you have to have a glass of sherry, don't you? Well, we do in our house. Getting the baubles out, arguing about whether the lights are working or not. Please hear me. I'm not dissing family tradition. I'm not dissing Christmas trees or the reason or the presents. I'm just saying that God's really been talking to me about the reason for Christmas and making sure that we keep that right in the centre of what we do. And I love spending time with my family. I love spending time with my friends. And Christmas is a really special time of year. It's a time when we might see family that we don't see for the rest of the year. It's a time for us to be able to get in touch with friends that perhaps we don't see all that often. And it's surely a time to celebrate, because without Jesus, there wouldn't be anything to celebrate. And where would we be without him? In a smelly mess like that manger, probably. And I was thinking about the comparison of our lives before we met Jesus and that manger and both a bit of a smelly mess, really. So let's bring this into land, in the infamous words of Stephen Parker. So God entered our communities at first Christmas, and today he relies on us to be the carriers of his light. So how are we going to do it? Christmas is a perfect time to bring Jesus back into focus. The presents, the trees, the lights, the friends, the family, the food, they're all great as long as we're putting Jesus right at the centre of what we're doing. How can we take the King into our community this Christmas time? He arrived himself that first Christmas, but we're responsible now to carry on putting Jesus right at the centre of Christmas in our communities and in our families. What can you do to bring the light of Christ into the lives of your families and friends and neighbours? I guess first we have to recognise what our community is. And, I spent some time this week thinking, what is my community? My community is my church family. My community is my work family. My community is my family. My community is my neighbours. All of these things, they're all part of my community. And they're all different. And so Jesus is going to be reflected in a different way in each of those communities. I can't talk to my work colleagues in the same way as I might talk to my family, because it's different. But I can still be the light of Jesus in my workplace this Christmas when we're talking about Christmas time. And so I guess for us, we need to recognise what our communities are. And then we need to think about ways about how we can bring Jesus back into the centre of Christmas in each of those communities. And it might be that you are writing cards. What are you writing in your cards this Christmas? Does what you write in your Christmas cards reflect the story of Jesus in any way? Or do you just wish someone a happy holiday or a Merry Christmas? Do you send a family newsletter? Does your family newsletter put Jesus right at the centre of everything that you do? In the gifts that you buy for people, do you reflect the love of Christ in them? Or do you just buy them something because you don't know what else to buy them? It's true, isn't it? I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying, because these are the questions I've asked myself. Do you invite people over? Your family, your friends, your neighbours? Is it a time that you could invite your neighbours over for some mulled wine? To enjoy some festive spirit and bring the light into the darkness in your conversations with them. It's an ideal opportunity to get together for coffee, wine, nibbles, all of these things. It's a great time to open your home and allow the love of Christ to be right at the centre of your relationships. And so I guess when we have coffee, it would be a great opportunity for us to not waste that time today, but maybe get together and chat with people about identifying your community and what sort of things that you could do. For two reasons. One, somebody might have a really creative idea that you don't. But also it makes us accountable. And as a community here, we should make one another accountable. So next week when you come to Go Carol Crazy, you might have brought that neighbour because you had them around for a cup of coffee in the week and said, I was saying to one of the girls at work, I was like, oh, we're doing Go Carol Crazy. She was like, Go Carol Crazy, what's that? I was like, basically, we're going to sing loads of songs and you bring an instrument and you play it along. It's going to be really fun and we're just going to enjoy Christmas at church. And she was like, oh, that sounds like fun. So I'm trusting and praying that she's going to respond to the invitation to come. But before we finish, God said something really clearly to me. That it's all very well putting God in the centre of our community this Christmas. But what we really need to do is bring God right back into the centre of our Christmas. And we have the light of Christ in us. And we need to allow God's light to penetrate every area of our lives. So that when we are in a touching place with people, all they see is Jesus' love and Jesus' light. And today we've heard that this time, this season is the most amazing season of all. It's where the beginning of our reconciliation to God started. It's when God decided it was time to send his son in order to start that reconciliation process of his creation back to him. This is the time in the season to remember that the Son of God was born for our destiny to be released. So in the middle of all the tinsel, the presents and the wrapping paper and the busyness of Christmas, I really felt that God said that right now, today, it's time to put him back right in the centre of the season. And I don't know, you guys may well have already done that. And I'm not here to question whether you have or you haven't. But I am here to issue an invitation this morning for us to put Jesus right back into the centre of Christmas, right back into the centre of our lives, into the busyness, into the pressures of every day, into not feeling very well, into everything that's going on in our lives right now. There's an opportunity to just put Jesus right back in the centre. So if that's something that you feel that you want to do, I'm going to ask you to stand and pray with me. If it's not, I'll stand and pray on my own. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Father, I thank you that you see our hearts. Father, I thank you that we can't hide anything from you. And Lord, I thank you that you want to be the light in every area of our lives. You want to be the light that shines in the darkness. You want to be the light that shines in the messy areas. You want to be the light that shines in the busy areas. You want to be the light that shines in the heartbreak. And Father, right now we just invite you to take centre stage in our lives afresh. We lift our hands to you in submission, Father. God, we ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit afresh. God, right now. Father, we ask for an outpouring of your peace and your joy. Father, I pray that we would be a people that are so full of joy this Christmas that it's infectious. Father, I pray that as we prepare to have family and friends, God, that you would be speaking to us as we receive them into our homes. Father, I pray that you would give us words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Father, I pray that you would speak clearly to us in the way to communicate with our friends and our families and our neighbours this Christmas time. Father, I pray you would just give us a fresh revelation of the Christmas story. Father, a fresh understanding that you walked where we walk, that you went through every trial and tribulation that we go through on some scale. And Father, you never gave up. And Father, I pray right now, Father, that we would know the true reason of this season was for you to come into the world and start to release destiny. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that sacrifice. Thank you, God, that you loved us enough to send your only Son to die so that we could have life in all its fullness. And Jesus, we worship you and we thank you. Yeah, just thank Jesus for all that he's done for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Faye. Excellent.